In the beginning, he prayed for the new staff to come to be with us. It's exciting to see, you know, English congregation is growing. There are a lot, tremendous need, and God sending people to be here. And that's wonderful. And make the church continue to grow and then to meet the need of the community. Today, I'm going to preach a special sermon, you know, just like Paul said. What I'm going to talk about, you know, is a very sensitive issue. We're talking about money, okay? And why I am talking about this issue? Because we, I mean the whole church, we need to pay off a mortgage next year by August. And the balance of the mortgage, you know, for one specific loan is about $220,000. It is a balloon payment, you know. How do we need to pay off this loan? You know, our brother Tony will come to lay out the plan and talk it to you after my preaching. And today you will realize that my sermon have 8 points and also 2 chapters. If you realize that I'm preaching using a longer passage and also so many points, I used it to preach 3 points and also a very short passage. You know why I speak you know, so many points and reading so many scriptures? Because in these 2 chapters it is a unity, and then we cannot separate it. So we need to study very thoroughly about these 2 chapters, and I try to be very concise in 8 points. Actually, you know, John Stott preaching, you know, about the message in these 2 chapters in 10 points, and I trim it in 8 points. Yeah. So we would like to see the wonderful message of God regarding, you know, the Christian giving, you know, and which I have never found it out. So today I would like to share with you, and before Tony is going to tell you about the plan, how can we help in this area. Let's have a word of prayer. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. You give us people, and you also give us money, and you want us to be really careful about how to handle the money and also how to have a right perspective about the money, which is provided by the scripture. We are so happy to have this moment to share with this truth. We pray that your spirit will illuminate us and also give me clear mind to speak it out about your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before I share with you about these 8 points, why don't we read the scripture? I mean, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, and through chapter 9. If you have the Bible, please open it. If you don't have the Bible, I believe that the PowerPoint, does the PowerPoint show? Okay, yeah. No, the whole chapter. Did the PowerPoint show the whole chapter? No. Okay. No. Why don't we read the scripture with the Bible? Yeah. Anybody needs a Bible? Yeah. Please raise your hand. If you don't have, yeah, we read it because this is the background. We won't tell you about the detail of these 2 chapters because it consumes so much time. But we have to understand these 2 chapter backgrounds first before we go to one by one. Let's read together. And now, okay, follow me. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty well up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they went beyond our expectations. Having given themselves first of all to the Lord, they gave themselves by the will of God and also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnest and in the love we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnest of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At that present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed your appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service for the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself or to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of the others. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is serious, and even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brother, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show this man proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you have promised. Then you will be ready, a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work as is written. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs for the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable God. Hey. Thank you so much for reading so long with me. Yeah. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about the background of these two chapters. You know, at that time, there was a famine, and then the church in Jerusalem suffered the famine a lot, so there are lots of poor Christians over there. And then the other part of the Christian in Greece, you know, the northern part called Macedonian, and then the southern part called Corinth, Achaia. And they heard about this bad news. So they say, hey, the people in Jerusalem, the brother and sister over there are very poor. What should we do? We just, why don't we, you know, donate some money and give the money to that brothers and sisters and support them, you know. And so this is the background of the church, of the two chapters. And the Corinthian church already made this decision 1 year ago. And Paul right now mentioned about, you know, them, hey, you already make the decision. Right now we send people to come and to collect the money, and combining with the money donated by the northern Greece, which is Macedonian church, and bring all the money to the people in Jerusalem. You know, that is the background, you know. So obviously, this money, very strictly speaking, is not talking about a tithe, but talking about a special need, because there was a famine at that time, just like earthquake in somewhere, and also the flood in somewhere, the church need money, and then the church in the other places, you know, gather some money and to donate the money to them. You know, a special project, yeah. But it doesn't matter, or a special project, or also tithing. You know, the principle of these two chapters about Christian giving also applicable, you know, when we study, and that's marvelous truth about the Christian giving, you know. So right now, why don't we just, you know, one by one, you know, and to study about the truth in these two chapters. You know, the first one, what is the meaning, what's the principle of the Christian giving? It is a expression of the grace of God, you know. And let's read together, yeah, here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through this poverty might become rich. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul, in these two chapters, mentioning about, you know, Christian giving is a graceful ministry. It's a ministry of grace. If you study the Word of God in these two chapters, you can count on it. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 totally about 8 times when Paul referring about the donation of money. He always talking about this is a grace ministry. This is a grace ministry, you know. And talking about the church of Macedonia, they say they are so poor, even they want to share the grace of this ministry, you know. And also talking about Titus is going to do this ministry, also talking about the grace, graceful ministry, the ministry of grace. So Paul repeating again, giving money is an expression of the grace of God. We just read these two verses. Paul mentioning about, because why should we give? Because God is a giving God. God is a gracious God. He's so generous. Generous to the point that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to give us. Jesus was rich, but however, He gave Himself to us and become poor. Now, of course, He's talking about, spiritually. So therefore, if we want to give something to other people, to our brothers and sisters, and then we have to have a different perspective, the perspective to share the grace. Because God is giving me so much grace, so we want to share the grace to other people. So this is very important concept. You know, if you are not thankful, if you don't think God's grace is so abundant, don't give. Because this is not what God wants you to do. You know, don't feel pressure, okay? And then that's very, very important, you know. So in other words, people are willing to give because he is thankful to God. He thinks that God's grace is so abundant. So I'm willing to give. This is the concept of the Christian giving. Many years ago, also about almost 10 years ago, I have a couple in my church, in the Mandarin church. Right now, they're no more in the church. They go down to Los Angeles because of work, you know. And the wife is very smart, you know. He came from mainland China. After coming to China, he know the Christ and he get baptized in our church. And then he got a very good degree in UC Berkeley and the degree talking about finance. But at that time, it was the economy is very bad. It's really hard to look for a job. And then very seldom she can get an interview. One day she told me that, "Hey, Pastor Lai, you know what happened? Why don't you pray for me?" I said, "What happened?" He said, "I got an interview. This is a golden opportunity. But however, whether I get hired or not, there's no guarantee because lots of competition." And then after that, she made a vow. She said, "Pastor Lai, you know what happened? If I get this job, you know, I get hired, I will donate the first month full salary to God, okay, as an expression of my thankfulness, my grace, thankfulness to God. So I give, you know." What do I respond? You know, being a pastor, you think, "Hey, hallelujah, why don't you do that?" Okay, no, I didn't say that. I keep silent because I don't want to give my pressure on him. Okay, and then you know what happened? Later on, she really told me that, "Hey, Pastor Lai, you know, praise the Lord, I really get hired, you know." And then, oh, thanks the Lord. And then after first month, he get the first paycheck and deliver the first paycheck to me. "Hey, Pastor Lai, I fulfill my promise. Here is the paycheck. Why don't you give it to the church?" And say, "No, don't through me. Why don't you drop the check in the offering box?" You know, how much money is the check? About $7,000 before tax. It's a big salary, right? Many, many years ago. Why this sister is willing to give? Because he is so thankful. Her giving is a expression of grace of God. He said, "God give me so much. He give me a job. So I am willing to pay a certain amount of money as an expression of being thankful to God." So this is the first principle. A second principle, let's read. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Okay. "Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnest, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." We seldom realize that, you know, giving is a gift of the Holy Spirit, just like a gift of the Holy Spirit in other aspects, like evangelism, you know, like preaching, like ministry, and something like that. So if God endows us a special gift or giving, we have to exercise it. Because by exercising the gift or giving, you know, this is can glorify God. In other words, yeah, everybody should give, but somebody is endowed with special giving, you know. And that person may be very rich, maybe have a generous heart. He's always giving. I know a brother in the church, you know, and then he is very rich. He knows how to do the business. Yeah. But every time he comes to the church, very quiet and didn't do anything, something like that. Sometimes I chew him out. Hey, why don't you get involved this, involved that? And then he say, oh, you know, Pastor Lai, I'm so busy. God give me a gift, a special gift, or what's gift, to give money, okay? Because I earn lots of money, so he donate a lot, you know, to the church, to the missionary organization. And I think he's right, because God endowed him to give, have this gift, to exercise the gift, to glorify God, yeah. So, in other words, the principle of Christian giving is also exercising the spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit. This is the second point. The third point, let's go. It is a proportional according wealth. Let's read together. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what he has, and according to what he does not have. Here is a principle. We have to give according to our ability. In other words, somebody can give more, somebody can give less. It depends upon our income. This is the principle of the Bible. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, is when we're talking about, you know, to bring the offering, to bring the sacrifice to the priest, you know, to the sanctuary, is also this principle. Somebody are rich, you know, they make offering to God, they can bring a cow. You know, how much is worth a cow? Some family, only the most valuable is a cow. I was a farmer, you know, and I know that the most valuable is a cow, you know. But however, not many people have more than one cow in the family, in the farming society, you know. So if people can donate a cow or a lamb, you know, their family must be rich, you know. But however, if the family doesn't have that much money, you know, he can make offering to God as a turtle dove or a pigeons, you know. Like Jesus Christ, the parents, you know, when he was brought to the temple, he made an offering, you know, of cleansing is a turtle dove and also pigeons, you know. So this is the concept of, I mean, from God, okay? We apply it to the principle of today's giving, yeah. Whatever you have, okay, God asks you, do according to your ability. But however, how do we know that, how, you know, what is my ability? Some people, you know, give more than his ability. Some people give less than his ability. So giving is also basically is a matter of a grace, grateful response to God, and also is a matter of trust in God. If your heart is so generous, so grateful to God, you might give more than your ability. If your heart is like that, okay? But if your heart is not so grateful, you might give less than you can afford, your ability. Is it true? Yeah. In the Bible, Jesus one time, you know, he sit in the temple, he watched lots of people donating money in the temple. I mean, people might be thinking, the preacher say, people say, when the pastor preaching about the money, is he must need money, and the church need money, and that is not very very spiritual. But when you study the Word of God, Jesus, it seems to me that somebody, preacher told me that Jesus mentioned money so many times, more times than prayer. You know, have you doing like that? In other words, money is very, very important because it will touch our heart. And then here, the Bible mentioning about one time Jesus sitting in the temple, he watching lots of people donating money in the offering box. One widow donate how many money? $200, Huh? How much money? Two coins. Okay, two coins. And then another rich guy donated lots of money, obviously making lots of noise, but the widow making little noise. Only two coins, just a penny. Okay, what did Jesus comment? He said, I mean the widow making offering more than anybody else. Why? Jesus said, because he make offering, I mean, beyond her ability. He give all she has and donate into the church. This is what her comment, his comment. But the other people rich, they making lots of money to the church, but he still had lots of money left over. So in comparison with the widow, so the widow is doing, I mean, much sacrificial job in terms of offering, you know. Why the widow doing that kind of thing? Only two, I mean, reason can explain. One, she is so grateful to God. She said, I give all the things to God whenever I have. Secondly, she has a great faith in God. Whenever I give the penny, all the money she has, how does she live? How does she eat? You know, she got to trust God. God even give two pennies to church. And then God can provide me through other means so I can still survive, you know. So this principle, proportion according to our well, is still based on our gratitude, our grateful heart to God, and also trust, you know, in God. Okay, the next one, it will contribute equality. Let's read together. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. This is a wonderful verse. You know, today we are talking about social justice. It's based on this verses, you know. God wants everybody in the society, especially in his people, in the church, in the Old Testament and also in Testament, every people, every family, their need had to be fulfilled, you know. And so Paul using an illustration, I mean, when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, at that time they had nothing to eat. God said, hey, I sent manna coming down from heaven. But there will be a principle here. If the people, the family has lots of people to eat, they can take more. But if a family has just two people, he can take less. And the principle is that the more people eating the manna, they got enough. But the few people eating manna do not lack. Okay. In other words, no wasting and no lack of supply. You know, this is the principle or called equality. And in New Testament, we find out that, you know, I mean, the apostolic church, I mean, the first century church, the Christian over there apply this principle. The principle what? The people at that time when Peter preached the gospel to all the Jews who are coming from a different location of the world, about 3,000 people, you know, were born again at that time, and they gather together, they're living together, and then they do not have money. What do they do? And then the people, I mean, in the church who have houses in Jerusalem, who are rich, they just give out the money. They sold out the property and then bring the money to the apostles, and the apostles donate those money and the need to those people who need it. Okay. So this is called equality. Okay. You know, this is a very, very important concept. You know, the communistic manifesto, you know, was addressed by Karl Marx, you know, in 1875. He's talking about the communism. Everybody have fulfilled the need. Everybody can have to give the need, have ability to provide the need, you know. They using this concept in the Bible, you know, to apply the communist, you know, theory, you know, and sell it to the world. But we know it won't work. Because, you know why? Because they do it by force. But the Christian church in the apostolic age at that time, they're doing by love, you know. Nobody force you to do it, but But you do it from your genuine love to God. So this is called the equality. This is God's mind, you know. So nowadays we're thinking about today, you know, God still use this principle. We call it social justice. Yeah. Today we're living in the United States. We are affluent, you know, church. Even though Paul mentioned about, yeah, today we are, yeah, we are really suffering economic downturn and lots of problem. But you'll be talking about comparison with the churches in Africa, comparison with the Chinese churches in the far rural area. They are nothing, you know. And then we have really have love for them. So that's the reason why we need to really, to do mission, to care about those people, and then they have more need than we do, and so that we can share what we have with them. You know, that's called the equality. Okay, next point. It must be carefully supervised. Okay, let's read together. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of the others. Yeah. If you study the scripture, you know, talking about chapter 8, Paul used about almost 8 verses talking about how to collect the money from the Corinth church. He sent out 3 persons. One is Titus, another 2, these two Christian are the honor of Christ. In other words, they are very, very good Christian. They are spiritual Christian. They have good testimony, and you know they are honor of Christ and they are glory of Christ. So when people seeing these 3 people, and then they say, "Hey, these 3 people, if they're doing things, we put totally trust them." Why Paul mentioned this thing? You know, suppose Titus is good enough. Why do he send 2 more people? You know, from this point of view, we can tell Paul is very careful about money matters. Why we have to be careful about money matters? Because money is very sensitive issue, like I said in the beginning. Because we are human beings, even Christian, we are very sensitive to money. We are easily either to be greedy for money or very luxuriously wasting money, you know. And Paul tried to avoid that kind of criticism, you know, from the other people. He sent 3 people to take good care of this money. He himself don't touch the money. You know, maybe somebody say, "Hey, Paul, you run a fundraising campaign. Well, there's a whole $10,000 more than that. Oh, you must take some of the money in your own pocket and give the not that much to the Jerusalem Christian." You know, there were lots of rumor like that. But Paul didn't do that. He let the other 3 people. According to evangelistic crusade of Billy Graham, you know, Billy Graham set up a very good example for us. He never take any personal love offering from among the people. People might give him a big check, you know. Whenever he received that kind of money, he give all the those checks to the organization. He only collect the monthly salary, you know. And also, whenever there was evangelistic meeting happen, the next day there will be a public announcement about all the donation, where the money come from, where the money go. And I believe that is a good example, you know. Personally, being a pastor, I seldom touch, you know. I don't think that pastor shouldn't touch this area, but we try to be very, very careful, because this is God's money, and we have to be very careful. You know, some churches, the deacon board say, "Hey, we want to multiply, you know, God's money, just like multiply disciple. Why don't we put the money offerings to the blue chip stock, you know, and then make it invest double and triple?" Okay, what happened if the blue chip stock fall down, you know, and you are in big trouble, right? So we have to be very, very conservative and careful handling the money of God. Okay, all, next one. It resembles in harvest. Let's read together. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, Paul used an analogy. You know, talking about to donate money, to give money to God, just like planting a seed in the ground and it will become harvest, you know. And that's very, very true. A speaker, very famous speaker, you know, used this verse and talking about give a title. Hey, fundraising, give a title called sowing money, okay, not sowing seed. When you sowing money, you reap the harvest, the more money to come in, to. Paul used this concept. That means that when you giving away the money, it's just like sowing the seed on the ground, and then when the seed on the ground will grow. The seed will grow, become plants, and also you will reap the harvest. When you reap the harvest, you have more seed, okay? And then you will enjoy the food and enjoy take portion of seed for your own use, and also you use the other part of seed to give away to sow it again, so you can continuously, sow and reap the harvest and enjoy the food and also enjoy the seed and also sowing the seed again. It's on and on. That's what Paul talking about. And however, like this concept is not generate or advocate or support a successful theology. That means that, hey, you donate the money to God, God will guarantee you to become rich. You know what the Bible said? Exactly true, right? Yeah. So we promote that kind of successful theology. That's like Pentecostal, a lot of preachers. You know, and then, Christ is rich. I mean, Jesus is abundant. He is the law of the Lord, and then the law of the heaven, all the riches you belong to Him, He will give us. He will make you healthy, wealthy. Is it true? It's half true. It's not 100% true. When you study the Bible, there's a purpose for God to give you more money. The purpose is that you have to give more. You have to give more. You have to donate more. You have to understand there are lots of need to the other people, you know. So that make the principle of giving to be equality. It's not you giving and then in order to reap the harvest for your own benefit, you know, and for yourself, glory, you know. This is not the philosophy. This is not the theology or from the Bible. Yeah. But the point is that here Paul is mentioning about encourage you to give. You know, that's the reason why in the Bible talking about, in the beginning, in the Mandarin congregation, there's a course when we baptize them and we tell them that we encourage to give one tithing. And I put this course into the baptismal course. Okay, we have about 14 courses, 14 lessons. One lesson that, you know, after baptism, we would like to encourage you to give one tithe. You know why? Because by doing that, you will receive the blessing of God. It's not for the sake of the church, you know. I give you a testimony about my son, Jonathan. Jonathan just come back from New York after one semester of studying the art, you know, and then New York is a place that is very high living standard. You know, he living in Manhattan area. Manhattan area, the downtown, that area is a very nice place. And then incredibly high the rent. The rent at least $1,000 more a month, you know. However, last semester before he leaving to New York, what happened? God prepared him a place, a room for him, living with a man just as old as I am, just like his father, taking good care of him. And the good place to live, and wonderful, when he tell other people, nobody believe that he gets such a low rent. You know how much he pay? He pay $500 a month, you know. And then he save $500 every month. And then he make a comment. Why I can get this lower rent? Okay, the reason for that because you know, the people rent this room out to them because there's a law, and then they cannot increase the rent for almost 15 years. And plus, and then I mean, this guy just living over there for 15 years. So he enjoyed this low rent benefit. But the point is that why he can get that place, you know, he said, because I practice one Thai. Okay, God give me more. What kind of Thai he's giving? He might be giving less than maybe $200 a month because he got just like a hourly pay job, you know, before he's going to New York. But he say, hey, since the Bible say, I mean that we have to practice the Thai, and so he keep on practicing the Thai, and all of a sudden he reaped the harvest, and he got a scholarship, almost half the tuition, and then God prepared everything for him, so he experienced that verse, you know. So this is the number seven. Okay, one more. This is the seven. Okay, it is thanksgiving to God. Let's read together. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Like next point, I try to squeeze two points together. Demonstration of Christian unity. Okay. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surprising grace God has given you. Two points I combine together. True Christian giving will generate a thanksgiving to God. Because why? Because we are giving out of our own heart. So people won't thank you more than God. Because you are doing for God's sake. Okay, and not for a human relationship, of course, and for loving our brother. But however, the final resources is come from God. So people will give thanks to God. And finally, it demonstrates a unity, you know? And then the giving will bring two Christian, different culture together. The Gentile Christian and also the Jewish Christian. That's fantastic because, you know, nowadays and in that day, Jewish Christian and Gentile Christian is hard to come together because of culture. But because of the giving, the bondage of loving one another to come close together. I said, like in our congregation in Home of Christ Sex, we have three congregations, Mandarin and also English and Cantonese. They're totally different in terms of culture. But we are very careful about the money matter, you know, and we make sure every congregation needs fulfilled, not because, oh, Mandarin had lots of offering, we have a final say, no. And then Cantonese doesn't have, so you have to follow me. No, not this point. We have to show our love. We are the same, no matter what. Okay, and so this is a draw the unity of this, Christian love together. So you see, so wonderful. I mean, eight principles about the Christian giving. Yeah, before I studying this passage, I do not figure out that so many are true in it. But lastly, I want to draw a point. Eight principles. Which principle is most important? According to my feeling, the first principle is very, very important, the most important. So I would like to encourage you, go home and examine yourself. Lord, am I a very, have a generous heart? Had I have a grateful heart to God's grace? If I'm so grateful to God's providence to me, His salvation, His everything providing me, definitely to give. It's not a matter. It's a very easy thing. And no harshly, no grudgingly, but it's a natural flow from God. Okay, I finished my preaching. Right now, Paul, Tony, you can come and explain the come here. Yeah, very, 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 very fast, yeah.
Right, and in the Pastor Paul Dean gave me this opportunity for me to give a very quick, brief presentation and corresponding to what Pastor Lai just preached. Pastor Lai was saying this is talking about the pledge, donations, it's always been a sensitive topic, but it is not. Paul says in Corinthians it's a liberal gift in today's. And it is a sensitive topic because it's God's money too. But what I want to make this brief is that Paul talking about the growing his daughter, and our church is growing. Our church is growing in a mysterious way and God's directions. Although sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. So a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we bought a new building, which is where Mandarin having service Sundays. And during that time, the way we got our loan was kind of difficult because of the liability of this building. So finally, we got our loan, which is a 5-year loan, but we have to repay, we have to pay off the loan at the end of the 5 years, which is next year, August 6th. It is a balloon payment. The amount is about 220,000 dollars. Yes. Currently, the interest rate over there is 6.75%, and the monthly payment is close to $3,000. Does any one of you have a house, or if your parents have a house, what is your interest rate? Do you know? What is the interest rate? Probably around 5 or under 5 or 4%. Or under 4. But our interest rate is close to 7%. Because when we get our loan, because our liabilities, everything, and a bank normally does not want to give a loan to a church or a church size like us. So because it's a non-profit organization and they don't make a lot of money, and that loan we have left is 220 for the new building. So after multiple discussions and on the deacon board meeting, we have determined. Can you go to the next one, please? And we have determined that decided deacon board to we want to pay off the loan. Pay off the loan, and right now we don't have enough money in our saving account. So we decided to do to raise the money through different ways. Of course, pledge is the way, and we can. It will give us this opportunity that pray in front of God, carefully pray in front of God, and make a decision if we can. Pledge, we can donate enough to donate some money to this project, and we talked about being ask the church members to be a loaner. How it works is that a church would borrow money from members with interest or without interest, and we want to raise up this money and pay off the loan at the August next year. Can we go up? I think I forgot something there. Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about this, and it's hard for us to get a loan for the new building, although it's only $220,000. We already know in the last few years the property itself depreciated a lot. And if we have to borrow money again from the bank, we may have to put about 100K for down payment to addition to what we already put there because depreciated. And in addition, we will spend at least $4,000 to apply for the loan. And for residentials, give you an example. Why we when we ask for a loan, why it costs so much? For residentials, example is that you do a appraisal, probably $400 or $500. But for commercial or church, at least $1,000. So we think at least the cost to get the loan itself is $4,000. And there is no guarantee you will be able to get the loan. And the loan term won't be ideal. Probably going to be 7%. So again, after multiple discussions and after prayers together, the deacon board decided we want to pay off the loan next year. And we think we can do it. As a matter of fact, probably a month ago, we have started discussing this topic. We have already received a lot of cash from the members of the church. And last week, when I was in the Mandarin congregation, I was presenting this one, and I'll give us the numbers. We have received a lot of cash already for this project. And we think we want to give us this. We want to give this opportunity to the English congregation and the Chinese congregation too. Give us this opportunity. Let's pray again, carefully pray, and we decide if we want give. If we want give money in terms of being a loaner or donate money to the church, we give the money. We donate the money in peace, in joyfulness, in willingness. If we choose at this time not to give money or not, we don't have enough money or not to donate, we choose not to do it in peace because this is a liberal gift. We do it because we believe in God. We do it because we know it's our faith, showing our faith. It's showing our willingness. I think I should not explain this because there are 8 points already being explained by the pastor. Okay. I want to, can we look at the last one, last chapter? I want with everyone of us, let's together read this chapter and I want to end my presentation. This is the Malachi 3:10. Are we ready? Let's bring the whole table into the throughout so that there may be food in my house, and test maybe in my days, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you in the windows of heaven and pour out for your blessing until fullness. Amen. Thank you.
Any question? You know, if we do not explain very well, yeah. Paul, you want to add it? No? Okay. Yeah, good.
Thank you, Pastor Lai. Are we going to have offering at this time with this last song, or?
This is a song, offering, and then another song.
Okay, got it. Sure. I'm going to go with How Great Is Our God. I really like the point, as Pastor Lai said, that it's when we give, it's an expression of grace, because our God is so great. He can